Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There are some who are the last to get picked on a team. And they only take them because it's almost like the, all right, we'll take him. Let's go. We're not going to throw him the ball. We're not going to do it, but we'll take him. He's the last one, and it's our pick. Sometimes they defer the last pick. We got our team. You guys take him. You guys can use the help. I want to be that person. The world makes us that person, but God never does. To him, everyone's a first stringer because there's no one who can do it like you. No one. No one who can be you the way you can. And he wants to use you.
Low self-esteem? The world tells you to believe in yourself, but the Bible says to believe in Christ. In today's message, Pastor Troy digs up some nuggets of truth from the Word, like the fact that we are chosen before the foundation of the world. So the next time you feel low, remember that Jesus chose you first. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you could receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
One thing I know is those who are in Him, those who are His, are secure in Him. I don't understand how to explain it, but Jesus said, if you're weary, heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. So if that's you, he says, come to him. Now, if you're one of those who feels I've got it all under control, I got it, I don't need help, then perhaps you are not one who's chosen. Now, then you might come back and say, well, what if I want to be? What if I want to go to heaven? Then choose him. But I don't want to. Then you're not chosen. You see how it works? It's like you're going to make a choice and you're going to enter and you're going to decide to go ahead and go in that door. Like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to go in only to find a table set and a sign behind you that says chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, part of this mystery and our inability to understand it fully is this capacity that God has that we do not have, nor can we even fathom, and it is called foreknowledge. It's not something he tries to do. He doesn't stop and go, let me put on my God goggles and look into the future. Oh, you're going to do just fine. Yeah, I'll take you. He knows. It's like he knows. He can't even not know. He already knows. He knows everything because he's all-knowing. It's part of his makeup. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 2 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you, and peace be multiplied. So there you have both terms, elect, based upon the foreknowledge of what would happen. So based upon what God knows, he chooses, he elects. Again, I can't clear this up right now, but if you were to bake some muffins, and you could look, go through the whole motions, and then at the end of it, find out that through the natural process, which ones would rise and be full, fluffy, tasty muffins, and which ones, ooh, we forgot sugar, or we forgot this, or we forgot that, or these are sticking. If you could see all of that in advance and then back it all up, and then go, okay, I'm going to use this one and this one and this. These are the great muffins here. You would elect them, right? You would choose them. In that kind of vein, God is able to see in advance everything that unfolds naturally. Now, we have a supernatural enemy. That's unfair. That's unfair for a natural people. If you were to watch a game and you recorded that game and you know the outcome, you know the outcome. You have full confidence in that outcome. You've seen the game. You know it. But let's say now that's natural. The game was naturally played out. But there's a supernatural enemy who is somehow able to go into the game. And though it's been played naturally, he's able to mess it up a little bit. Then I could override him and say, okay, I'm not going to let you mess up what was going to be. I'm going to make sure I preserve and elect those who were going to choose me so that you can't cause them not to choose me. So there's election working together with free will choice, but election is for the sake of preservation. Whom I've elected, they can't be taken. Because in advance, I've already elected them, but I elected them based upon foreknowledge that if this enemy were in the way, this is exactly what would have played out. And so both work together because we have a supernatural enemy who's not natural, who can cause us to stumble. Even in the last days, it speaks about a supernatural deception that even the elect, if possible, would be deceived, but they won't be able to be deceived because of this supernatural deception. So, God has elected us, and that's a blessing because that means those who are His are His. And they are secure in Him. If someone doesn't choose the Lord, if someone didn't have time, I was so close and then they passed away before. Look, they never would have. The enemy doesn't win anyone. And the enemy doesn't cause anyone to fall away that wasn't going to. God wins. And so He sustains those who are His. Because if He didn't, everybody would go to hell because Satan is too influential, too deceptive, and we are too clothed in flesh. So we need this. God is good, but it doesn't mean we have no choices in our life, what's played out, what happens to us. In fact, the security we find ourselves in is salvation. It doesn't mean you can't make some bad decisions that you didn't have to make and experience some very serious consequences. God's sovereign. God must have meant this, or He wouldn't have let me make this decision. No, that was on you. I'm going to sustain you. You're going to heaven, but you're going to miss out on a whole lot. And so we can make decisions here that are not good for us. So based upon what He knows, He makes a choice. We are blessed with a bright future, and we can be assured of that future because God is sovereign. So a new car, a nice home, these are good things. These are blessings. But nothing compares to the spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. Nothing. We find our assurance in Him. We find our peace and our hope, everything in Him. When there's confusion in our mind, we find satisfaction and direction and order in Him. These are blessings. And these are greater blessings than anything physical. According to the good pleasure of His will, all of this too. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about His plan, His ultimate plan. But let's talk about, since we're talking about our blessing, purpose. That He has a purpose for us. Not only do we have a blessing to look forward to, but we have a purpose today. God has a plan for our life. If we would let Him use us. Paul begins this book of Ephesians with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, I didn't choose this. God burdened my heart with this. This is the Lord. I felt his tugging. It was very clear. This is the Lord's direction, not my own. I didn't come up with this. And Paul was fulfilled. Despite the beatings and imprisonments and all those other things, in some ways, like Christ, he had no place to lay his head. He did with and he did without. And he learned to be content in all of that. But he always had the hope of Christ. He was fulfilled because he was in the will of God. Sadly, there are many Christians who never get around to asking the Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want for my life? I mean, I know that all I can really do on my own is mess things up. So you've got to have something better for me than that. What do you want? And God gives us direction, things, works, all of these things that he sets before us. It's so easy to get busy with our own plans in this world. Just because you're elect, if you're among the elect, if you belong to the Lord, it doesn't mean the enemy can't distract you. He still can, and he still does. And we make choices to let him get us off course so that we miss out on so many things. In fact, if your life is dissatisfying, very often it's because we end up, like the children of Israel, wandering around with no real sense of direction and purpose as far as God is concerned. I mean, we can establish our own purpose, and that gives us busy. If you're driven, if you're a driven person, you'll have this goal, and there's my goal, and you're driven. Are you missing out on something? You don't think so, because I'm driven, and I have something I've set before me. But you are missing out because you're driven towards something that may not be from the Lord. You're distracted. But when we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want? See, Paul was distracted. Paul was driven to becoming the greatest Pharisee. And he was on that track, but it wasn't what God had for him. When we find out what God has for us, then there's no more fighting him. There's peace, whose mind is stayed on him. There's a sense of direction and purpose, and then we know how to discern things that don't belong in our schedule and in our time, because we put what he has first. There's nothing more fulfilling and exciting than being in God's will. And that's full time. It's all the time. Whatever you do, wherever you go, everything that you are part of, it's ministry. It's ministering to someone, the way you act, the way you respond, how you show up on time, how you didn't steal some of the supplies that everyone else seems to steal. Whatever it is, you're ministering by the will of God. And you want to be in his will. You want to know his will. Because we do make some bad decisions that have consequences that play out over time. For example, don't be in such a rush if you're single to just find somebody. You want to be in the will of God, and you want to find someone who's in the will of God. And by being in the will of God, you both are brought together. That's what you want. Because 10 years down the road after you're married and you've got all these problems or certain things happen and life isn't as easy as you thought, because these things do come up, you don't want to go, how'd we get here? Oh my, we should have never gotten married. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done this. You don't want to have to look back. You want to know we are in this by the will of God. And that will enable you to endure anything. It's one of the things when I do premarriage counseling, I talk about, is this the Lord? Are you sure this is the Lord? Because emotions can get involved. But when the struggles come and the difficulties come, they can look back and realize, you know what? We're in this by the will of God. So obviously we can get through this. This isn't because of our own choice. On the other side of the coin, I've known some who you could tell the man or the woman, one of the two, had a call of God in their life to do something. Specifically, in our church early on, someone I could tell, they were called to be a part of the leadership, whether it was an elder or a pastor or something in that sense. But because of the home life, in particular the wife, he could never realize that. Because there were problems and there were disputes and they were not on the same page. And it prevented them, so that the last thing you want to do is bring in an elder and the wife is a problem. So that prevented that. And it was a frustration. Now here's the good news. No matter where you're at in life, what you've done, you may have made bad decisions. Maybe you've made bad financial decisions and you're in debt and you'd like to do more for the Lord financially, but that's not where you're at this time. Or you, before marriage, you had relations with somebody and you ended up with a child, and now you're not as free as you used to be, though your desire is growing to serve the Lord, and you feel like you don't have the same opportunities now. You could be going through anything. Responsibilities of life weighing you down. Maybe a prison sentence. We've even seen those kinds of things where someone gets their life right with the Lord and what they've got before them is jail time or prison. No matter where you find yourself, right where you are, you can seek the Lord and He has a plan for you through it, in it. You're in financial distress, He might start saying, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give still what you can of the first fruits to the Lord, a dollar, 50 cents, whatever. I don't care. It's not amount. It's about your heart. So I want you to do that consistently. And then I want you to start working on debt. And you can't do anything. And you're not going to go on the mission trip. You're not going to go on the retreat. You're not going to do these things unless someone else provides or God provides. This is what I've got for you right now. But when you're doing that, you're honoring the Lord, and He begins to bless you. And I've seen those who've committed themselves to getting out of debt financially. I've seen God help with the process and do amazing things to bless them once they're committed to doing things God's way. Someone who went to jail. I could have done this, and I could have done that. Who finds ministry before to his family, and even in jail, so that they're ministering to those who are there. See, God can use you wherever you are. He can work, as the scripture says, all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God can redeem anything and anyone. Oh, how blessed we are to serve a God like that. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, blessed with a bright future, and then we'll just read on verse 6 where we find one final blessing. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So we're blessed to be accepted. There are some who are the last to get picked on a team, and they only take them because it's almost like the, all right, we'll take him. Let's go. We're not going to throw him the ball. We're not going to do it, but we'll take him. He's the last one, and it's our pick. Sometimes they defer the last pick. Oh, we got our team. You guys take him. You guys can use the help. Oh, to be that person. The world makes us that person, but God never does. To Him, everyone's a first stringer, because there's no one who can do it like you. No one. No one who can be you the way you can. And He wants to use you. We've been accepted in Christ, but it says in the beloved, that's in Christ. We're not acceptable as is. We're acceptable in Christ. You often hear people say things like, you need to accept Christ. You need to accept Him into your heart. You need to accept Him. Like Jesus is on the sidelines shivering. Sure is cold down here. Would you please just accept me? Let me in. I could use a warm place tonight. Like we're sovereign man. I'll think about it. I'll think about it. That's not the picture at all. We don't accept Him. We are blessed to be accepted by Him. God doesn't need anyone or anything. He doesn't need us to accept. I know we have this. He stands at the door and knocks, but the picture's like, please, please. No, no. It's like, I have $1 million. You want it? Hey, okay. I've got counsel for you. I've got wisdom for you. I've got peace for you. I've got solutions for you. I've got all of this for you. You want it? All right. That's the picture. God accepts us graciously in Christ. I mean, think about the apostles. You look at them and you look at what might be their resumes and you wonder, why would God choose them? So that they could be a picture of the fact that God chooses us too. I mean, Thomas was negative. I mean, Thomas was kind of, he was doubting Thomas. Jesus said, we're going to Jerusalem. Thomas was like, well, let's go ahead and go and die with him. Thanks, Thomas. It's real encouraging. When Jesus appeared to them, Thomas was the one who said, I'm not going to believe it till I see him, unless I see him. So Jesus, did he go, well, forget Thomas. You don't need Thomas. He goes, Thomas, you're one of mine. And so because you need that, look, touch, see. I want you to believe. How blessed we are that God knows who we are and how we are and meets us with that understanding. We're all different, and he loves us just the same. It speaks of adoption, and just we'll touch on this. But verse 5 says, predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We're not saved by adoption. We're born again. But this idea of adoption is something we're elect to. We're predestined to adoption. Adoption is, you can have someone living in your home who you haven't signed the documents on. They could be foster children. You haven't signed the documents on so that they actually have your last name and they are actually yours with all the rights of a legitimate son or daughter. Well, as we're born again, we're saved, but he says we're predestined to adoption. It's a legal term that means everything that really only belongs to Christ, it really only belongs to Christ, the only legitimate son. But you're predestined to adoption. Everything that belongs to him, I'm going to pour out on you as well. You don't deserve it. Just by going, I receive you, Lord, isn't what gets you those things. It's because you are going to be mine. We're going to have a relationship that is legal. And that means that you have an inheritance that you didn't have before that. We are very, very blessed. The greatest need for man is forgiveness. Because everyone has gone his own way. And we have not realized how blessed we are to have a heavenly Father who would love and care for us so. We have a guilt complex because we're guilty. We try to take care of it through psychology and psychiatry, but God takes care of it by the cross. And if we will come to the cross, God forgives us and establishes a relationship and gives us a hope and a future that we didn't have before. That's a better blessing than anything else this world could give us.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life and that you embrace his blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in.